everybody. Welcome to the channel. I'm here again with Jason Fletcher from All Things Overlanding. Thanks for joining us, Fletch.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we're just going to chat about a few things today that are interesting to us. One topic that we're going to chat about is the dumbest things we've done so far, overlanding or working on our rigs or whatever. Like, we're going to try to keep it to three. I think the list will probably be very, very long, at least for me. Let's jump into the dumbest things that we've done. Fletch, what's one of the dumbest things you've done so far overlanding?
So there was a really dumb thing that I did a couple of years ago. I went on a trip that was about 11 hours from home. I was in West Virginia. I live in Indiana. And so I was a ways from home without any sort of like backup. Like if my truck exploded on the side of the road, like I was just either going to pay thousands of dollars to tow it home or leave it, I guess. So, but we were in West Virginia. It's super hilly. We were basically in the Monongahela National Forest and kind of in and out of that and going up and down mountains. And it never occurred to me as we were in this really hilly section to like, my truck's an automatic, but I I'm familiar with, I love manuals and I can use my gears and my automatic. I noticed to engine brake and stuff, but I wasn't doing any of that because I was just like, yeah, we're fine. We're moving around on a road. We're in between trails. And all of a sudden on the CB, I hear somebody behind me go, "Hey, Fletch, your brakes are on fire." And I was like, what? And he's like, "Smoke is pouring out of your rear passenger side." God. And I was like, "Oh crap." And I pull over. And I mean, I kid you not, it reeked. And I got out of the truck and I'm not talking about like, it was hot and there was like a little bit of steam coming. Like it was like white smoke pouring off the passenger rear rotor.
So just the brake pads just got super hot or did they wear out?
The rotor and the pad, like the whole thing was just, yeah, they were red hot.
Whoa.
And like I literally was digging through. I had brought like a fire extinguisher from my house, like a big fire extinguisher from my house, because I was like, just in case. And I literally was pulling that thing out and like getting ready to use it. We poured some water on it that cooled them down, and then I started to use my gears and my automatic from there on out. Yeah, so luckily, I mean, it's a Nissan and it just cooled off and it drove for two more days fine, and then 11 hours home and no problems. But like it was sketchy for a second. I was very worried about my future.
Are you ever like driving now and thinking like, I wonder if my brakes are to catch on fire?
No, well, I mean, again, like it was, now that I look back on it, I don't know how it never occurred to me that like I was definitely putting a lot of heat through those brakes, because it was like up and down and up and down. I mean, look, you know, switchbacks and all kinds of crazy stuff. And like, I knew that they were getting hot, but like I've done some autocross and stuff like that, but it's a different situation. Like I just felt like I was just driving around. Like I didn't feel like I could possibly heat them up that much, but you can. So yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that was mine. Nice. What's yours? Go with yours.
My first one is when we first started overlanding, we got one of those Reliant. And we still have same one, actually. We still have they're great, they last forever, even though this one's all cracked and everything. Those Reliant three-legged stools, the toilet stools. No one likes to talk about like going to the bathroom out in the woods, but it's an essential. It's just like your bodies need to do that. So we got this thing and so I have a daughter, I have a son. He doesn't use it very much. And I have a wife. And so we didn't really know or took the time to educate ourselves on the bags that go into those things. And so we thought, okay, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fold this stool out and then dig a hole and then and then go to the bathroom in the hole and then fill the hole back up, right? So I would dig these massive holes and the hole was so big, like sometimes like I would have to dig it over again because like the legs weren't wide enough. You know what I mean? And then like, you know, not everything gets in the hole. And so I was like doing duty, you know, like putting this thing away. And I was like, this is really terrible and messy. And I don't remember when I figured this out, but at some point I was like, oh, what's that? Oh, there's a bag. Oh, you put the bag in the chair and then everything goes in the bag. And then you can tie the bag or zip the bag up. And there's no mess. And knowing what I know now, it was such a noob. I'm not kidding you. Probably like five or six trips before I, in a big mess before I figured that out. So that's probably my number one, like, bonehead dumbest thing that I've done.
It's a hard learned takeaway there.
Super smelly lesson to learn, man. Oh, sorry, Kate just walked in.
Kate. You're fine. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Don't blame me.
Kate just heard the story I was telling, and she wanted to say, and she goes, "Don't blame me for that. It was the kid's fault."
That's all I want to add.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think she was saying specifically, like, any of the stinkiness, or it wasn't me. That's very true. That's very true, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I blamed it all on my kids.
So. All right, let's change the subject. So what's another one of yours?
Well, but I can't. My next one is related to the same thing. So I'm keeping us down in the literal crap. So, mine's not actually gross. Mine's not as gross as yours, but I've been on probably now in the last like 4 years, I've probably been on something like 75, 100 trips. And a lot of those are like one-nighters or two-nighters, you know, camping trips in the national forest more than overlanding trips. But no matter what, right, there are some essentials that you need, like a toilet, something to use as a toilet, you know, your bags, your toilet paper is another thing. Mm-hmm. And I went on a trip where I got all the way down and back in there and set up my whole deployed stuff, my awning, my tent, everything set up, and then realized I forgot toilet paper. Ooh. And I had my 8-year-old with me, and actually both my kids were with me on that trip. And I was like, somebody's going to have to poop. Like, we're going to have to poop, and like, we're going to have to be using leaves or something. But luckily, we're meeting some friends, and I was able to get enough reception where I could text him and say, hey, we forgot toilet paper. Please, for the love of God, bring toilet paper. And he got there a couple hours later with toilet paper and saved the day. But it could have been not a great night with three boys in the woods and no toilet paper.
That's anything. Yeah, that's like one of those where you go like, okay, I don't have any toilet paper, so what else could I use?
I have a McDonald's bag from lunch when we stopped and ate that I could tear into pieces. Yeah, like that was where my brain was going. It was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My next one. Oh, yeah. I wrote a list down and I just forgot about it until right now. So my next one was, I had this trip planned with my knucklehead friends. It was a guy's trip. We were going out to the Alvord Desert. And I don't know if you remember, some years ago, there was a standoff in Oregon. The Bundy family and their ranch took over a federal building. And there was a big, and like somebody got shot. It was a big, huge mess. Well, the Alvord Desert's in Bundy country. It's out there where there's big ranches, a lot of private land. And I'm not going to say that it's like shoot first, ask questions later, but there's definitely a vibe out there that is like, you're not supposed to be here. Mm. And so I had this route planned to go into the Alvord Desert the hard way, like trying to find our way in, not on the main roads. And we got about 3 miles in and it just went south. I had no real great experience with Gaia. I thought all the roads on the Gaia map would be actual roads and we'd be able to just follow my route and be there. And I was like, we'll be there in 45 minutes, guys. And not true. So I hit a bunch of places that weren't actually roads. So I kept kind of rerouting. And so I defaulted to like, well, if it doesn't say private property keep out, maybe we can drive on it, you know, which is not true. You should not abide by that philosophy. And I remember my buddy Lance, it was his first trip with us. My buddy Lance got out of his truck and he came up. We were in the middle of a road that wasn't a road. The sagebrush was up past our lights. His catalytic converter smelled like burnt sage. And he walked up to me and he goes, how are we getting out of here right now? And I said, well, you know, I kind of rerouted. I think we're going to go this way. And he's like, He's like, you know that we're on somebody else's land at the moment, right? I was like, yeah. He goes, and you know that we're lit up like a Christmas tree because it's 10 p.m. and we all have our lights on. It's like, yeah. I was like, I think we're almost there. And he's like, if we're not almost there, we're in big trouble, buddy. Like, you need to figure this out. So we floored it. We went through a gate. We got out of the private property. It was super dumb. It probably a little bit dangerous, but something that like you should like other people should just never do.
I found an old abandoned house one time and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And it was like just on a trail. But now, like now that I have Gaia, I look back at it because I marked it on my GPS and it flat out honest, like obviously says it's like private land. And I was like, oh shoot. And that was like 4 years ago. I had no idea. And now I was like, I'm going to go back and check that out. And I'm looking like, no, I can't go there.
We just went to Hell's Canyon a few weekends ago. That video will be coming out very soon. And we drove up over the top. So like Hell's Canyon is the deepest river gorge in North America. We drove over the top of it. We found a road. I found a road on Gaia. And I thought, I think we can do this. I called the ranger station. No one answered. On Gaia, you can see there's like different types of land that I drove through. And sometimes on private land, the roads are public. It's a public access road.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got to this road and it turns out it was an evacuation route. So it was a public road and it went all the way up the face of Hell's Canyon. And out here, there's so much public land. And a lot of it is depending on the state and the county, it's super intermixed with private land. And so it's a little bit more complicated, but there's no excuse for just blatantly driving into somebody's property and trying to get into the Upper Desert. That's my second dumbest thing ever. What's your third?
Yeah. So this happened, I think it was just last year. Like that's the thing too, to remember about this, people listening or watching, is like, it's not like, oh, okay, you know, Jason's been doing this for 4 years. And how long have you been doing overlanding?
Oh, years. Yeah. About probably about the same, 4 or 5 years.
I'm not going to say there's been no growth or like improvement, but like, it doesn't matter. There's still always a possibility of forgetting stuff. But so like a year ago, I had this whole trip planned. I was going to have all this epic food and I was going to really cook and like do all this stuff. And I always in my drawer system, I have like some canned like green beans and like some chili and like a couple things of ramen just in case. Or, you know, if I got stuck in a snowstorm or something and I had to stay at a place I could survive. But I get out there with all this food and all I'm ready. I'm just so excited. And I realized that I left the bag with all of my kitchen gear, like everything. My mess kits, my pots and pans, utensils, my frying pan, like everything. I had no cooking gear at all. So that was a pretty big mistake. But so like what I ended up doing, which is also kind of funny, and I think fairly creative, is so I had a can of chili and I used a knife to basically, you know, force my way into the can of chili, like a Neanderthal with a knife. And pop that thing open. And then I found two pretty smooth rocks and I put them on the ground and I have these little fire starters, these little Weber cubes that are meant for like starting charcoal fires and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I use them as fire starters because they look like a little ice cube tray basically, but they're little tiny cubes, but they're like $3 for a thing of 24 of these things. Mm-hmm. So that's what I use for all my fire starting. And I tossed a couple underneath the can of chili, which by the way, I don't recommend because there's some sort of a lining in those cans. You're really not supposed to like cook in the can. But I was like, I'm going to starve. Like I need to eat something. I'm hungry. So I made a little fire out of my little fire starter cubes and I put my can over it. And then I used my knife to stir the chili. And then I scooped it with like my knife and I ate chili with a knife out of a can that I cooked over an open flame on rocks.
How was eating chili with a knife?
2 out of 10, do not recommend.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay, but yeah, you're not getting like a big scoop or anything like that. I am, you know, I fancy myself like a mountain man, I think, that doesn't live anywhere near any mountains, but like, I'm not afraid of the knife. I didn't cut myself or anything. Like I'm very capable with my knife, but like, yeah, I was just like scoop a little bit and you're right. You just like lick both sides of it off, you know, and then you get another scoop. Just deal with it, you know? Well, and I was in a spot where I had just the barest like bit of reception and I actually like called my wife and was like, you're not going to believe this. Like I brought all this food and I can't eat any of it. And I'm cooking chili in the can over a fire starter and I'm using my knife to eat it. And she was like, you're an idiot. And I was like, yeah.
sad to say, Kate's has used very similar words.
I mean, they're right. You know, like,
they're wrong. So, they only call us idiots because we're doing idiotic things.
Right. And that's part of the, you know, but now we're talking about it. Now I have a story. Like, if it didn't happen, then I wouldn't be talking about my great meals that I had probably. So, right. Yeah. That's mine. What's your third one?
Okay. My last one is it was just recent. So like the dumb never ends. it just happened. Right. I haven't gotten any smarter. We were staying at this really wild lake that we got into. I don't think anybody had really been up there yet this year. Super beautiful, deep in the Hell's Canyon, recreational area, kind of wilderness area. And we had a beautiful lake, set up this camp. It was, the rigs fit in there perfectly. And there's like trails. There was a trailhead close by. We could kind of go hiking and stuff. It was really, really neat. It felt very wild. Lots and lots of animals, deer walking through camp, you know, many different times. And so that night, everyone was about to go to bed and we hear this like, rah! It's like scream, like, rah! It's like, what is that? And we're like, oh, that's a mountain lion. That's absolutely a mountain lion. Okay. So now we know there's a mountain lion there. Maybe we should go to bed. And so we start to get our stuff together and go to bed. I walk down to the lake to get to fill the bucket up with water to put the fire out. And I hear this in the lake, like something big stepped in it and like waves were moving. It's like, holy cow, what is that? So I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. And then I hear it again. It's like, okay. Let's put this fire out. Let's go to bed. I'll get my bear spray. You know, we'll just be safe in our tents because hopefully nothing knows how to undo a zipper. And so we go to sleep, wake up the next day, everything's fine. And I get home the next day or a few days later. And I start reading up on mountain lions. I'm like, okay, we heard a mountain lion. I know it's a mountain lion. So first I Googled like, what do they sound like? And I saw some YouTube videos of mountain lions screaming, definitely a mountain lion. And by the way, the big thing in the lake, we tracked the next morning, it was a moose. So there's like big moose hoof prints everywhere. Right? Like two very grumpy animals. And so I was reading up on what to do. And it very, very, very clearly says, like, if you're at camp and you see a lot of game wandering around your camp, like deer, you can bet that there are mountain lions there as well, because they are prey, right? And they will prey on the prey. And especially if you're near a water source, you should be very wary of mountain lions. And one thing you should never do is let your kids just wander off. And we, the kids had free rein. We were like, where did they go? And they were gone, probably, you know, quarter mile, half mile down the trail. The dumb thing was that we were unaware of the mistakes that we were making. So like, yeah. I don't think we actually did anything wrong. Like the dogs with the kids, which probably would have helped should there have been a mountain lion or something. They had whistles, you know, like if there's an issue, they could have, they know how to blow on their whistles. But we were like, look at all the beautiful deer, look at the beautiful lake. And we never thought, oh, maybe we should be aware that there are there's predators out here as well. And maybe like, you know, have some more rules for the kids or something like that. So that's my last dumb thing that we are making serious corrections on.
It happens, you know. That's, I mean, to your point, that's, I feel like that's pretty frequent, where it's not so much that you know that you're not supposed to do it and you're intentionally being daft, but it's that you just don't know any better. You know, I don't have any mountain lions here, so I have no idea how to behave around them or what to do. I'd probably try and pet it and make it my pet.
So. I guess the lesson here is that we're always learning.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fletch. Thanks for talking about all this stuff. We went through a lot of stuff in this episode, and it's just so fun to like kick these ideas back and forth and chat and share our experiences together. So I just want to say to everybody, if you haven't been over to Fletch's YouTube channel, it's All Things Overlanding. He also has Instagram account, Facebook. He has a really great podcast. And so if you haven't been over there, do give him, go check him out. Somebody just did this. Somebody just was like, hey, I just went over to your YouTube channel, Fletch, and it's incredible. I just saw a comment on my, from our last episode. And so I encourage other people to do that. I certainly go over there all the time. And let's do this again. Let's do another one.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Great. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.